5266. And, you know, we have many programs that we present, like Democracy Now!, which we put on twice a day. We also have our news program that comes on. We do all sorts of public affairs programming, but we also do, like, different communities. They will have certain times on the air. We have the folk from the Hispanic communities who come on and present Hispanic programming on Sundays and Tuesdays. And, you know, if you're just supporting the program just right now, the labor program, you support these other programs. So it helps us all around. So call us up right now, 877-500-5266. Become a member, or if you're already a member, think about increasing your membership. You're paying $5 a month. We'll get up to $7 or maybe $9 a month. Go online also to kboo.fm, and you can also contribute us that way. We need you to become a member of Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. To you, the 9-to-5-er.
KBOO would like to thank our community members that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Dambayan, located on 6014 Southeast Foster Road, serving traditional Filipino lunch and dinner Wednesdays through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, a Mexican restaurant at 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue, open Monday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to midnight or later. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, a Southeast Portland cafe open 7 days a week at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the 2016 Youth Candidate Forum. The Multnomah Youth Commission, the official youth policy body for Multnomah County and the City of Portland, invites youth 13 to 21 years old to our Youth Candidate Forum on Wednesday, April 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Benson High School. There will be food, raffle prizes, and youth will be able to talk with candidates for city and county commission positions about any issues that are important to them. Remember, Wednesday, April 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Benson High School. That's 546 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland, conveniently located near Lloyd Center Max Stop and bus number 70. More information can be found in kboo.org on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good evening, greetings, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we will be speaking with Jay Lederman, who is a civil rights attorney, renowned civil rights attorney based in California, and is quite the expert on some very unique cases that have come up exclusively here in the 21st century. Cases like people who have been locked up, like Jeremy Hammond, if you're familiar with Jeremy Hammond, political prisoner, a hacktivist, and other people like whistleblowers Chelsea Manning, all the cases related to other whistleblowing and WikiLeaks and what have you. And we'll be speaking with him in a minute. And part of the reason we are doing that is also to help promote a great community event that'll be happening this Thursday. And as we get him on the phone here, we're going to talk about this event this Thursday evening. And it's a KBOO sponsored one, so please show up. Is a film screening of We Are Legion, a film and discussion. It's at the Clinton Street Theater, Thursday, April 28th from 7 to 9 p.m. And this is also a fundraiser, which goes to defense funds of imprisoned whistleblowers Chelsea Manning and Jeremy Hammond, also supporting the Portland Community MeshNet Project. This is an event, again, that's co-sponsored by KBOO, Veterans for Peace Chapter 72, Oregon Jericho, Portland Anarchist Black Cross, the Northwest Alliance for Alternative Media and Education, and others. So please make that event. We will talk about it a little bit as we get into this discussions with Jay. So again, we want to stress the importance of supporting KBOO. And as you know, we are in a pledge drive. And the number to call for the pledge drive is 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. So Matthew's probably with us tonight, and he's going to be pitching in a little bit. And I'll take a minute to also persuade you to also give money to the station. We need you to act now and pledge now. You can give a couple bucks a month, and it's easy to do. So getting into our programming here, like I mentioned, we are with attorney Jay Lederman. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. We're just talking about the event that we're having on Thursday. You know, we'll be showing We Are Legion, and you could probably talk a lot about contextualizing that particular film in the way that you've been, you know, dealing and studying with some various cases that have come up. So before we get into that, can you just maybe just briefly talk about the scope of your work and your background and participation in these different cases?
Sure. Gosh,
big question.
I don't even know where to begin. So around the time that Brian was making that movie, we connected. I'm trying to think of like how we first connected, but I was back in 2011, like right in the middle, like right around May, I think June. I started representing Commander X, who was a hacktivist. His group was the PLF, the People's Liberation Front.
Yeah, can you talk just real quick about what those groups are, what hacktivism
oh, sure.
means? Yeah, thanks.
A hacktivist is what they call a portmanteau of hacker activists. So these are people that use digital means to protest, you know, problems in the world, largely against governments and big corporations. That would be the bulk of it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So X contacted me one day, and, you know, we developed an attorney-client relationship that, you know, blossomed into, you know, you know, times were busy. Back in 2011, you know, it was sort of the era of the hacktivist. And, you know, people were getting arrested left and right. And Brian actually takes this on in the movie. And I think to his credit, he really tries to put a fair spin on it, but he discusses Lolsec in the movie and has sort of older writers, critics, older hackers kind of discuss what they think of what's going on with, at that point, Lolsec, which Lolsec is a small cadre of hackers that I forget when We Are Legion was released, but when it was certainly being filmed and edited and all of that, they were very active. and they were very active and very destructive. So what you know, what happened was I went from representing him to one of the members of LULSEC to you know, several other people like involved in criminal cases, and then kind of consulting for other criminal cases. You know, for example, I talked to Barrett Brown a bunch. Barrett was sort of railroaded by the American justice system and made into, you know, turned from a journalist into a criminal. Jeremy Hammond, who was clearly a hacktivist, part of LULSEC for a while, but received 10 years for something that, you know, was worth far less from a very biased judge. So all this was going around right around the time, like kind of swirling around right around the time that Brian made that movie. And it, you know, what's so great about it is it catches the front end of what is essentially an explosion. And he traces time up from Anonymous of like essentially like the, you know, like the background, which was, I think, started in about 2006 or so, you know, the kind of era of the lulls, you know, everyone's kind of messing around on, you know, on 4chan B and, you know, everyone's sort of having fun. And, you know, then it goes through the Scientology protests of 2008 and it kind of brings you up to the modern era, which was, I believe at that point, 2011, maybe 2012, when things were really going wacky. I mean, you know, there were hacks everywhere, you know, just about every day of, you know, all manner of things, you know, with people that purported to be members of Anonymous, you know, in fact, engaging in.
Mm-hmm. Jay, real quick, you know, we talk about these lulls, and for our listeners, whether they're familiar or not, the idea is they're kind of these digital shenanigans on social media, can be everything from a silly meme to all kinds of other things. So when we talked about hacktivism and some of the cases that you just mentioned, can you just maybe give a couple quick examples of what do those things actually look like for our listeners to kind of understand when we talk about hacktivism? What is the broad scope of kind of hacktivist acts that people have either done or purported to do or actually got locked up for by government?
Well, let's kind of take like a couple of examples. Like one, you know, that I liked and remembered was the Syrian army website at the beginning of the Syrian civil war. Anonymous took down the kind of front page, the front facing page of the military website for the country of Syria, and, you know, turned it into a two kind of columned statement telling the army, you know, they could desert. It was an inhumanitarian act. I don't know how you say it. Inhumanitarian act to continue to wage war upon the citizens of Syria in the manner that had been done. You know, as you recall, you know, Al-Assad had began, you know, using chemical and biological warfare on his own people. So, you know, that was one of them. They just took a site and defaced it. One of the other ones that I thought was, you know, kind of more amusing and you know, sort of got its point across was, I think it was right after Jeremy Hammond's sentencing. And the issue that people had was with the United States Sentencing Commission, which is essentially the body that kind of makes the, I don't know, makes the background for the rules that judges use to sentence convicted persons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if someone's convicted of such and such a crime, the U.S. Sentencing Commission will, you know, write about that and you know, say they should get this, they should get that, they should, you know, whatever for this particular crime. And, you know, so the issue was with, you know, the heavy-handed nature of the USSG, because they really did, their punishments are way out of whack with reality. So after Hammond was sentencing, not only did they take down the U.S. sentencing guidelines, like front page, but what someone did was turned it into a the old school game of asteroids, where you have that little kind of, you know, triangle, like shooting, you know, shooting little pellets. And when you kept shooting the site and you blew up the whole front page of the site, the mask of Anonymous would appear. And, you know, those are the pretty good examples, you know, two pretty good examples of what we have.
So for any folks just tuning in, this is the Prison Pipeline program on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. We're in our pledge drive right now, and you can call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And we were talking about hacktivism tonight and people that are getting locked up for all kinds of different maybe so-called crimes, maybe crimes. What are they? Jay, all these cases are very different from each other. We have people who have liberated JSTOR articles, from, you know, university websites. You know, we have people who have been able to extort money or what have you, I guess, on PayPal or different programs. So, again, there's this interesting line that we're playing with of extra legal activity, but it's for different purposes, and distinguishing what's, you know, what's more heinous than the other thing. And then the second part of the question for you is really what's going on with the legal aspect, because isn't this all kind of experimental at this point? These cases come up, the government kind of just decides, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to slap this person with 20 years. We'll slap this person with 10 years. And it's kind of arbitrary, right? So can you talk about all this?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, well, you actually answered most of the question, in fact, the question itself, because you're right. Matthew Keyes, for example, who I represented along with Tor Eklund in New York, we did a trial on that in October, and we just had sentencing about 2 weeks ago. And he was a journalist convicted of sort of passing credentials, I suppose, like credentials to, you know, to log into content management systems, which is sort of kind of the back end of websites. It's how, I don't know, it's how producers produce content. So when you're on like a news website and it, you know, updates to this new story or this story updates, that's what's happening. So he supposedly passed these credentials to another person who turned a web article into a, you know, into a funny joke for the title of the article. And, you know, for that 40 minutes that that article remained up, you know, he received 2 years of prison time.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's insanity when you think of it like that. So why did they go after Matthew Keyes? You know, because tons of other people did tons of other stuff that were never charged. Well, Matthew Keyes was a high-profile target. He worked at Reuters. He was the deputy social media director, and a pretty rising star in the social media world, if not an already risen star in the social media world. And, you know, the victim was not, it wasn't like it was my law firm, my one-person law firm. Victim was the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, Tribune Company. They own WGN, which is the Chicago, like, it's on a lot of cable networks. It's like the Chicago Omnibus Channel.
Okay.
They used to own the Chicago Cubs. They, you know, all kinds of things that made them a, you know, really a kind of high-priority victim, if one could say such a thing. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know, they were the corporatocracy. They mattered. So
they had weight.
You know, that's why they, you know, that's why they got, you know, preference. That's why Matthew got charged. It's not like he did anything that was particularly important in terms of, you know, sociologically, criminally, penologically, anything like that. He just happened to hit a company that wanted vengeance. And he happened to be high enough profile target that, you know, he was worthy of having vengeance extracted upon him.
Well, Jay, as all these things keep coming up, I mean, from your perspective where you see things at right now dealing with these cases and they keep happening all the time, where is the law going with this stuff? I mean, is there a, like a light at the end of the tunnel with these, you know, how the sentencing is going to at some point going to have at least a, you know, a maximum, you know, sentence or anything like that? Are people talking about this? I mean, are you actively talking to people about this? What are the resources
let's
for that?
Start there. Are people talking about this? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about this. Hopefully your listeners are thinking about this.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this all over the place. Wherever I can go, wherever people will have me, that they will listen to me, I'm talking about this. Lots of other people are talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Journalists have done a phenomenal job of publicizing this and making it such that, you know, people understand this. Congress is talking about it. And mm-hmm. let's stop there for
mm-hmm.
a minute.
Great.
Aaron Swartz, I won't go too into his case, but he had a kind of a bullshit computer case. He was, you know, trying to, essentially he was trying to liberate scholarly articles from behind a paywall, meaning that, you know, people should be able to research for free. Radical idea, right? He was charged, you know, facing charges and resorted to suicide, which is horrible. And in the wake of that, you know, came some action. And a congresswoman proposed a bill that died on the floor of Congress, as all bills do, because there is no action in the United States Congress these days. There is only inaction. And at the same time that was, going through, the Senate Judiciary Committee was having hearings suggesting that charges should be more prevalent and penalties should be harsher for people that, you know, commit such crimes. So, you know, on one hand, you know, they're thinking that cyber warfare is the way of the future. On the other hand, they're thinking, you know, that, you know, this is ludicrous. You know, we don't behave in this manner as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put the two together, you get nothing. There's no action. There's only inaction. And all we can do is keep it at the forefront. So perhaps at some point we can reach a detente where things actually change.
Well, Jay, in that case, again, to stress the importance of this for people, is one thing, you know, with this program, Prison Pipeline, you know, we talk about recidivism, we talk about even maybe eventually dismantling the prison industrial complex, but at the least keeping people out of prison and having, you know, different models for that. So obviously people need to know about this for that reason, you know, but also on the broader spectrum of why people really need to get involved and talk about this more is this whole, you know, freedom of speech and civil liberties piece. So can we just briefly talk about that before we close up?
Sure. Yeah, actually, that's a great place to go, because at issue here, at the heart of this all, is free speech. And, you know, one of the first prosecutions we saw was PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And the root of PayPal was in Julian Assange. And what happened was that, you know, state cables were being leaked and leaked and leaked. And then there were, I don't know, 200, 2,000, something like that, leaked in late November. And for some reason, it was that pack of cables that they released that, you know, started a meltdown of the U.S. government to the point that they were, you know, they were ready to kill Assange. So Assange went into hiding and, you know, charges popped out in Sweden and all of that stuff started happening, and like really soon in you know after that there became what we call banking blockade. Essentially, anyone that processed credit card payments that, you know, would give the donations that would keep WikiLeaks alive, refused to process payments. Mm-hmm. And these were people that processed payments for all sorts of, you know, horrid organizations. KKK, you know, I wrote an op-ed, and the folks at The Guardian said they weren't able to find that they processed it for the KKK itself, but rather for the KKK bookstore. Okay, fine. But there are lots of other, you know, anti-transgender, I mean, anti-this, anti-that, you know, anti-everything, you know, that is an issue in this world, and really militantly anti. And they were, you know, PayPal was processing these things, Amazon was processing these things, Visa and MasterCard were processing these things, but they would not do so for WikiLeaks. So,
right, it's an exception.
Took to action, and what they did was called a DDoS.
Right. Well, we're not going to be able to
service. Yeah, it floods the website with traffic that kind of overwhelms the other traffic and either makes it slow or makes it makes it
So
knocks it offline.
So Jay,
that's a protest. That's speech. That's not, you know, that's not a crime.
Right.
That's protected protest.
Well, for folks to learn more about it, then they're going to have to come see the film on Thursday. And it's called We Are Legion, gives the history of Anonymous, history of hacktivism. It's at Clinton Street Theater this Thursday. It's a KBOO co-sponsored event and fundraising for some of these political prisoners we mentioned. Jay, I want to thank you for being on the show. We got to take it to our pledge drive. So we'll see you next week on Prison Pipeline. And remember, we are in our KBOO pledge drive here. And the number to call is 877-500-5266. And Matthew Clark is going to pitch us in here, and we want to thank you all. We'll see you next week.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yes, that number is 877-500-5266. Now, if you have a landline, we'll need you to dial 1 first before 877-500-5266. But for those of us who have their phone in their pocket, without the 1 will work fine. And if you are overseas or listening from someplace that you don't have a phone but you do have the internet, or you're listening on the internet, you know, there at KBOO.fm, we now have a link, a button that you can push to donate to community radio. And as you've been listening today, community radio is really different. And we here at KBOO are really proud of it. And it's not just a different type of music and the information that we provide, but it's the way we go about it. You know, we're volunteer-powered, volunteer-driven. We don't pander to the lowest common denominator, but we provide you, the listeners, the content that we feel is meaningful to your life, like the program we just had right now and the program before, the labor program, and this one talking about the different information hacks that go on. And so, you know, we have a small paid staff and a very large group of volunteers that are making the station happen, but we can only do it with your help. So we want you to pick up the phone, call 877-500-5266. And if you do have a landline, do hit 1 right at the start there. Hey, joining me is our volunteer coordinator, the one, the only, Ani Hayes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Fortunato. Here we are this afternoon raising funds for community radio because it's an important resource. Because this is the station that brings you voices that are left unheard and marginalized in corporate-owned press. I mean, I think Monday evening's public affairs programs really exemplifies that as we listen to the voices of labor and the voices of prisoners and prisoner support, prisoner families, what is going on with this being a heavily incarcerated nation. It's so important that we bring this information to you, that this information is available so that we can, in fact, be informed about our lives and we can be empowered. I mean, there is a union movement afoot, and it is an important movement. And here we are with a half-hour broadcast every Monday evening, bringing you what's happening on the ground for workers around the country and really around the world too, but with special attention to our own backyard. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to join and really raise funds right now during this half-hour program of Prison Pipeline. It's produced by a collective. It is so important to hear these stories and to get this information so that we can figure out what's going on with our justice or injustice systems. And you can be a part of the solution when you dial 877-500-5266 and contribute monthly.
And that's the way we can do it now. That makes it so much easier for a lot of folks that they don't have to do one big one donation. They can stretch it out over the year, or we can make out some sort of arrangement. And you can set that up when you call us up down here and talk to our folks. So give us a call right now at the 877-500-5266 or 1-877 if you need to. But we really need you to do that so that we can stay on the air. We can make it easy for you. We can make it easy for everybody who listens.
Oh, those bells from heaven. 877-500-5266 would ring the other bells from heaven. And right now is a great time to do it. We're looking to raise $100 to support Prison Pipeline Collective this evening. And I know you're reaching for your phone right now. Pick it up. Go ahead. Just give it a try. Join Community Radio today. Make this your moment. 877-500-5266.
The religion of Judaism and the political philosophy of Zionism must be completely separated. Judaism is a religion. Zionism is a political philosophy. And this confusion is well done to keep people more confused. But we're revolutionaries and we believe in dialogue.